Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Chase McCabe, 102.5, 106.3, the game, hour number two. NWA 75 this weekend in St. Louis, and then they come to Nashville for 2 days of TV tapings, NWA Power. And to talk more about that, we say hello to Kyle Davis. He is an announcer and the ring announcer for NWA, the National Wrestling Alliance. Kyle, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I hope everybody's doing fantastic and finding themselves a little less buried than I am currently. We just got back from Worlds of Vampire Tour with the Smashing Pumpkins. We have National Wrestling Alliance action going on in between the bands performing. One day in between, now St. Louis, then Nashville. I guess it's good to be busy with a career and a job, but at the same time, oof, entertainment takes a lot out of you.
I'm sure it does. And Billy Corgan joined us yesterday. And, you know, talked about wrestling and then that he's turning around and going to be back here in the Nashville area in a couple weeks with the Smashing Pumpkins. So I know it keeps you all busy.
Keeps us very busy. And like I said, it's fantastic. I mean, the National Wrestling Alliance, we're about to celebrate our 75th year in existence. There's been ups, there's been downs, but we are back. We're in the modern era with Billy Corgan by our side. Thankfully, the man's a giant wrestling fan, not just a rock star. And when, you know, you or I have a hobby, we can only do so much, but Rockstar is going to Rockstar. He bought a professional wrestling company, decided to run with it, and I get to be a part of that. And the Nashville crowds will get to be a part of that, too, as we do a TV taping there on this coming Monday and Tuesday coming up. So I'm really happy to be a part of that because, A, it means I'm not in St. Louis anymore, and that means we've had two successful pay-per-views. But, B, it's one day closer to me getting to hang out with people and having a real life again.
Yeah, no doubt. Let's start with NWA 75, though, a two-night show in St. Louis, as you mentioned, a stacked card that, you know, of course, is highlighted by a world championship match is Tyrus defends against EC3, which will be awesome. But how excited are you for not only to see these current superstars of the National Wrestling Alliance, but also to celebrate 75 years?
Listen, if I could have a relationship that lasts 75 years of my life, I'd be so damn lucky. But unfortunately, it's not happened so far. So the best I could do is the NWA and my relationship with this brand. 75 years is a long time. You know, historically, a lot of people are like the National Wrestling Alliance. I remember that from when I was younger in the South. And the crazy thing about the NWA is it is the precursor to, you know, WWE bridged off of it. And then WCW had bridged off it. ECW had bridged off it. So everything kind of, if you go back to history having a place, the National Wrestling Alliance was a giant catalyst for modern professional wrestling. So we have the old mixing with the new, and it's fantastic to see legends that I remember seeing once upon a time. And just, I have moments where I go, I can't believe I just, you know, run my mouth to Ricky Morton like he's one of my buddies backstage. And, you know, we got to work with Flair and all these things. Unfortunately, you know, as time goes on, we all get a little bit older, and, you know, we just lost former NWA World Heavyweight Champion Terry Funk yesterday. And it's just one of those things where in the moment, being a guy who was, for all intents and purposes, a failed professional wrestler, became a broadcaster and ring announcer and a guy who helps run a professional wrestling company, it's really nice to be able to hang out with people that I grew up on, people I respect, and help shape the future of professional wrestling with the young people that come in today.
Kyle Davis, NWA, is with us. NWA Power will have its TV tapings here in Nashville. NWATix.com is where you can go to get tickets there. But they'll, as he talked about, celebrate 75 years of the National Wrestling Alliance. Kerry Morton is on the card as well. And how cool is it to see, a third-generation superstar? Obviously, his dad, Ricky Morton, had a tremendous Hall of Fame career. But now to see Kerry Morton in the ring, what's that like?
Obnoxious. Gary Morton runs around, and we were in Australia doing a tour of Australia, and there was just something that happened where it clicked with him, where he just all of a sudden came into his own and said, you know, I'm the future of professional wrestling. I should act like it, to the chagrin of most of us. It's pretty amazing just to see such a young kid. He's been in the wrestling industry about 3 years right now, But, you know, some people are like, I think it might be genetic. There's something in his blood. Pro wrestling is in that kid's blood because of Ricky Morton, part of the Rock and Roll Express throughout the entire Southern Hemisphere back in the day and the rest of the world. Legendary tag team wrestler. His son's running as a junior heavyweight right now, trying to put on a little weight maybe afterwards. But we'll see what happens. He's defending the championship at NWA 75 against Colby Carino, another second-generation wrestler. And that's the great thing about the National Wrestling Alliance. We have that legacy. We have the old meets the new. As we like to say, it's where history lives and legends are forged. And then at 75, one of the big opportunities there is the world title will be on the line as Tyrus, a guy who a lot of people might know from Fox News, a big man, has decided that he wants to live up to expectations, that he put his title on the line and his career on the line in a bull rope match against EC3, a man who also drew a name for himself in the Nashville area at TNA back in the day. So this one has ramifications for many, 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 many months to come, possibly years to come. And we're hoping everybody can be a part of it. You can't be there live and in person in St. Louis, of course. Order at fight.tv. Watch it on any streaming device from the comfort of your home or wherever the heck you are. And I'd love to see a couple people in Nashville for the TV tapings at Skyway Studios on Monday and Tuesday coming up right there. It's a little bit different. We're that old school mentality. So if you watch things on TV, sometimes you're like, that's a lot of pyro. That's a lot of production. That's a lot of pomp. That's a lot of circumstance. We are a throwback studio wrestling program, much like you might have tuned in at noon on a Saturday or at 6:05 on anything like that, depending on where you were in the world. It's got a vibe unlike anything else that's going on in professional wrestling today. Whether you call it nostalgia, feel good, whatever it is, we want people to be a part of it. And that is, of course, going around Monday, August 28th and Tuesday, August 29th. Intimate studio setting. You get to see some of the future stars of wrestling today.
In NWA Power in Nashville, Kyle Davis is with us. Now, you're also the ring announcer. I got to do this one time, and it was like one of the coolest things that I've ever gotten to do, standing in the ring and announcing guys before a match. So how much fun are you having with that role?
I stumbled into it. like I said, I was a failed pro wrestler, and then I became a broadcaster. And then one day, they're like, we need somebody to do ring announcing. And so I got thrown to the wolves on that. It's nice. It's a part of the presentation of it, and it really gets people fired up if you do it right. It's also how I end up on stage at Smashing Pumpkins concerts in front of so many freaking people just staring out into the distance of fans, pitching them to go see the wrestling that's going on during the show. I don't know if you ever found this out, but sometimes we all have dreams and hopes and things and aspirations that we want to do with our lives, and they might not work out. And it turns out they don't work out because you're forcing something that you just weren't supposed to do. I truly believe that all of us might have something that we either fight against or are aware of, or may not even be aware of, that once we run with that is where we find our success and our contentment. And it turns out I can talk. And what better way to have a career than talking to a microphone and just say things boisterously and loud in front of people? I think you get that. You're in radio.
Oh, yeah.
And at the end of the day, it's nice to have a platform and a forum to be able to make a connection with people. We had a podcast for a while there, Billy Corrigan, myself, and Joe Galley, the other person helps run the National Wrestling Alliance behind the scenes with me. And we were promoting Smashing Pumpkins albums. And it's just one of those things where every week I realize how ridiculous life is. And all it is because somebody one day went, yeah, you might not be the athletic. You might not be the biggest guy. You might not be the tallest guy. But you could talk, and that's a life right there. So, yeah, the National Wrestling Alliance is a hell of a place. I used to wrestle there back in 2009 and 2010 when it was just a shell of what it is today, in the dark era, as I like to say, where, you know, people might not have realized it existed. And so we're getting that concept and everything of going back. Now that I'm bald and middle-aged, very funny to me that sometimes every now and then somebody like, wait a second, you were that guy? So, yeah, so NWA has given a bunch of us a home, and Billy Corgan sees things and talent that some people might not. And to be given a platform to build, to wrestle, to give entertainment to the fans is what we're here for. And I can't wait to be a part of that in St. Louis over the next couple of days and then be in Nashville for our TV tapings on the 28th and 29th.
How important, Kyle, is it that, you know, you talk about that, you look at this card for NWA 75, for instance, and there are a lot of established stars on that card that we've seen, you know, in other promotions for over the years. But then there are some wrestlers that maybe people don't know as well. But to have that balance between the up-and-comers and the established stars as you build a company.
It's super important because you need to have something that people can connect with without even really trying. Something where they see a name and they go, Chris Adonis, I remember him. He was the masterpiece the Master Priest, Chris Masters in WWE. Tyrus was in WWE as well. Big Fox News person right there. We have a number of people on the show that have had wrestling experience throughout the entire world over the last 30 years. And that's just getting the foot in the door. It's a gateway of sorts where you're like, you want to taste, this is something. And then once you're there, you might discover, oh, I had no idea these other people were in the world and I want to see them. Like, you know, Matt Cardona is one of the most entertaining people I've ever known, has made a name for himself through professional wrestling. But every time somebody gets in the ring with Matt Cardona, that gives somebody else attention that they never would have got if they hadn't gotten in there. Our NWA World Women's Champion, Camille, has been champion for over 800 days now, defends it constantly. Just filmed a movie that I don't think we could really talk about, but people will be seeing that in the very near future. It's so important to have that. I was just at several concerts over the last several days. I never heard of Rival Sons before. It's not my genre. But I went to go see the Smashing Pumpkins, who I work for, and I discovered the Rival Sons. Professional wrestling's just like that. Everything. If you can get somebody in the door with something they recognize that they're like, I want to see that, there's a good chance that they might discover something else along the way that gets them there too.
Well, it's going to be awesome. NWA Power at Skyway Studios, Monday, August 28th, Tuesday, August 29th. You can get your tickets, nwatix.com. Kyle, this has been a lot of fun. Thanks so much for doing this, and good luck in St. Louis. We'll see you in Nashville coming up on Monday.
Thank you so much. Keep on doing what you're doing, fans. We hope to see you there. nwatix.com. That's nwatix.com. And every week, Tuesday, 6:05, you can catch us on YouTube. Go to nationalwrestling.com and the YouTube page right there, and you will be able to see wrestling excitement, wrestling as it's meant to be, every week, 6:05, when you want to see it live, or watch it anytime afterwards.
Awesome. Great stuff. Thanks, Kyle. Kyle Davis joining us from NWA, the National Wrestling Alliance. He can talk. That's a personality. Got to have that for sure. NWATix.com. Coming up next, we'll talk to Joe Dubin at the bottom of the hour. He's at MTSU practice. We'll check in on that and also just talk some different sports with him. Could we see all three quarterbacks play for the Titans tomorrow? We'll discuss that next. Chase McCabe, 105, 106.3, the game.
Will Love is back at practice today. Coach, do you have a plan for Friday?
No, not yet. We don't have any availability or, you know, any decisions yet. See how he comes out of practice and see how he feels.
Mike Vrabel yesterday on Will Levis and what might happen with him. Chase McCabe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Could we see all three quarterbacks play tomorrow for the Tennessee Titans? If Will Levis is ready to go, then I think you'll see a majority of the game split between Malik Willis and Will Levis. But is there a possibility that Ryan Tannehill could get a series? We talked to Chris Sanders about this earlier, and you know, he kind of agrees with me that it would be beneficial for Tannehill to go out there for a series. He missed the entire last month of the season last year, play behind this new offensive line. There's new turf at Nissan Stadium. And so there's obviously a lot of things to work through. And he's going to be working with different receivers because you're without Treylon Burks and Kyle Phillips right now. So I see the benefit for Ryan Tannehill to get a series. And he was asked yesterday if he feels like he needs to get a series.
You feel the need to get, do you need a series Friday night, or with your experience having been here all off season, are you good if you don't get on the field during the game Friday night, considering the opener is 2 weeks away?
Yeah, I'm good either way. You know, excited and happy with how, you know, things have progressed for us as an offense over the course of spring and training camp. Guys are coming out and grinding away, obviously. It's not 100% yet, but we're building each and every day and learning from something each and every day. And, you know, whatever Coach Vrabel decides for Friday, I'll be good with.
And when Vrabel was asked about it, I mean, he kind of gave the thought that, you know, he's working through it, but maybe it was a possibility. I mean, he didn't like completely rule it out. Ultimately, I don't think it's going to happen. Like, especially if Will Levis is good to go, then it'll probably be those Will Levis and Malik Willis splitting the way. Nick, you made a good point earlier saying, though, if Will Levis can't go, then maybe the likelihood of Tannehill getting a series or two is more likely, you know, after what we saw from Malik Willis last week against Minnesota.
Yeah, and I think also you have to remember the blue and white scrimmage they had this past week gives a little bit more momentum towards starting quarterback like Ryan Tannehill. I know when I played football, when we had an inter-squad scrimmage, it gave me a little bit more momentum of, you know, wanting to go out there in some sort of tune-up game or some sort of preseason game that we always had. So I wouldn't be surprised if they do go and, you know, have Ryan Tannehill strap up the pads and go out there and put a helmet on and throw some balls. Because, I mean, you just mentioned it, the turf, and mm-hmm. I'm a big proponent with turf. I'm not a fan of it from time to time, but, you know, in this case, with the type of turf that's in Nissan Stadium now, it's beneficial to weather, especially with the certain types of pellets that are in the ground. It's not a rubber base. It's more of a cork base. So with that being said, you know, it's good to get your feet wet, and no pun intended, on a different, you know, playing field. So with that being said, I mean, yeah, having Tannehill go out there would be beneficial for not only just the chemistry aspect for the team, but also just the playing field itself.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. The other thing, too, is I mentioned Malik Willis, and he got the whole game basically against Minnesota, and it was very up and down. And, you know, how much does that factor in of, okay, let's maybe see Tannehill for a series and then turn it over to Will Levis if he can go and give him more of an opportunity, because I don't think this backup quarterback job is decided by any means, and it may not be. You know, Mike Vrabel may not officially name a backup. They're just going to keep all three. Paul Kaharsky of PaulKaharsky.com joined Robbie and Rexroad yesterday and kind of gave his thoughts on Malik Willis's performance against Minnesota.
PK, what did you make of Malik Willis, his performance on Saturday against Minnesota, and where the competition currently stands with him and Levis for QB2?
He was bad. I don't understand why people are painting it like he was good. Yeah, Chick dropped two passes. The second one wasn't a great throw by any means. He had somebody crossing in the back of the end zone. He threw it behind him when it kind of touched down. The pass to Nick Westbrook-Ikhine was inexplicably bad. It was inconsistent. He didn't carry over the stuff from practice very well at all. Yeah, he ran great. You know, Malik Willis at this stage, and I know it's still early, but playing against third-teamers in the fourth quarter of a preseason game should, like, look like very much the best player on the field. And he didn't look very like that to me. I thought it was a step back, and I thought he stayed at that. You know, didn't bounce back at practice yesterday. Wasn't very good either. So I think given an opportunity with Levis out of the picture to kind of seize the day and run with it, he's failed to do that. And that's somewhat disappointing. You know, I sure hope that Levis can play Friday night. Vrabel said he was hopeful. You know, it's quite a mystery what that is beyond lower body. A lot of people are assuming it's the toe. I don't think we should be assuming anything about what it is until we know, and we may not know, which is silly. But I don't feel any better about Malik Willis. I feel a little bit worse than I did going into the Minnesota game.
There you go. He feels a little worse about Malik Willis. How about all of you? I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of – he's still young. He's still got to work through stuff. You're not expecting him to be the starter. So at the same time, it's not as big of a deal. But it's also a big deal because you saw him last year and he got benched for Josh Dobbs. And Josh Dobbs outplayed him after being in the facility for 5 days, essentially, and took that job. And you hope that you don't have to go to Malik Willis or Will Levis this year, but what if you do? I mean, Ryan Tannehill's coming off a pretty major ankle injury, and he has been hurt in the past with the style of play that he has. That's, it wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility to have to go to one of those guys. And so, you know, how much more evaluation can Mike Vrabel get out of one preseason game? I don't know, but I also agree with Paul that it's unfortunate for Will Levis that, you know, he hasn't been able to really take advantage of the way that Malik Willis has played because of the injury that he's dealing with as well. So, again, could we see all three quarterbacks tomorrow against the New England Patriots as the Titans wrap up their preseason schedule? And who knows? I think there's a chance of it, and maybe, you know, some of that news will leak out. I know there's a little bit of news out of San Francisco. We saw yesterday that the 49ers announced that Sam Darnold would be the backup for that team, which means Trey Lance is going to be the third. Brock Purdy, of course, the starter. Trey Lance now the third quarterback. Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network is reporting that the 49ers are exploring options in trying to trade Trey Lance. That could be interesting. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure there's going to be a market for him because somebody's willing to take a shot. But, I mean, the stock of Trey Lance has just plummeted since the 49ers traded up to get him. Third overall? And he's been hurt, and he's barely sniffed the field, and it doesn't look like he's had a great training camp, and obviously hasn't if he's the third quarterback on the depth chart. So really interesting to kind of see where this has all gone with Trey Lance, and now it's looking like that the Niners are going to try and trade him. Very interesting. I wonder where he's going to end up. I mean, you know there's going to be a team that's going to take a chance and think, oh, he just needs a change of scenery. You know, we can make him better. But, I mean, if he's been with Kyle Shanahan and it hadn't gotten better to this point, then that's – I'm not so sure. One team that I think could be interesting is a division rival. What about the Rams? You know, with the uncertainty with Matthew Stafford, and I know they have Stetson Bennett, but, you know, do they maybe look at him? Cleveland has waived Kellen Mond, who was one of their quarterbacks. Just saw that come through. I'd be very curious on Trey Lance and where he ends up landing. But just passing that along. Coming up next, he's going to be in here for me tomorrow, but we'll talk a little high school football, some college football, and some fun with Big Joe Dubin. He'll join us next here on the program. Chase McCabe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. It is Chase McCabe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, broadcasting from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. You can weigh in on anything on the phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Big Joe Dubin calls in now. He's at MTSU football practice, and Joe, I know you have to just love being out on a football field at practice.
You know what's funny, Chase, is that, you know, you play the Magnum PI theme. That's like my bat signal. Whenever I hear that theme song, I always just get ready to go. So thank you for playing that, buddy. I appreciate you. No, you know what? It feels like 600 degrees up here, but nobody cares. I mean, it's football. I mean, they're going through practice right now, so Alabama's 9 days away. So it feels good. It's good to be up here and be outside and hearing the pads crack and everything else, man.
We were up there a couple weeks ago and had Rick Stockstill on the show and you know, got his thoughts on his team and going into the season, but they weren't really in game prep mode yet. Would you say 9 days out that they've kind of shifted practices into focusing more on the Crimson Tide?
They'll probably tell us no, but you've got to, at least this far. Now camp is pretty much over with. On Sunday, you prepare for Alabama next week. So I think there's some things. Now you start putting in bits and pieces here and there of your offense against Alabama. I think you find the coach, and nobody wants me to be the coach. I would have the defense already planning for Alabama. And the unknown for Alabama, though, Chase, is who's going to be the starting quarterback. And I think, to me, as a head coach going to a game versus a team like Alabama, when you don't know who the quarterback's going to be of your opposing team, that's frightening. So I think there's a lot of trepidation when you get ready for a game like this. You just got to go out and practice and be ready to go when the ball kicks off next Saturday down in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, and really looking forward to that. You'll be a part of the broadcast with Chip Walters on 93.3 Classic Hits, so that will be fantastic. Vanderbilt kicks off their season on Saturday over on West End against Hawaii, and I talked to Clark Lee the other day at Door Jam, and you get the excitement from him, but then anybody in the program just seems excited right now of where this is going, and I think it's all because of the culture that he's built and the buy-in that these players have, and the way the schedule falls for them, Joe, I mean, I think they have a really good opportunity to be bowl eligible this year.
Man, you know, we say that every year about Vanderbilt, but, you know, I think this year is different because I think universally people like Clark Lee and what he's done, and, you know, you throw around, but he's a Vanderbilt guy. I've never subscribed to that. Like, he has to be part of that program to be a head coach, be successful. That's not true. But he's a football coach. You know what I'm saying? He knows football, and he knows he's very relatable to these young men today. So also, you flip at 180, Middle starts against Alabama, Vanderbilt starts against Hawaii, and so it, you're not playing Alabama game one for Vanderbilt. You're playing Hawaii. You go out there last year, and you pretty much, you know, push them around. Now you get them at home. So you go out Saturday night, do everything you need to do, get a big win, able to play some backups. I think you start out 1-0, and you're good. And so there's a great opportunity there for Vanderbilt on Saturday night versus Hawaii. And please, let's no more stadium talk about Vanderbilt. Can we just get past all that? I'm not saying you do it, but you get on social media and people bashing. You know, I'm looking at MTSU Stadium right now. They're redoing their stadium, adding a bunch of stuff during the season. No big deal. Teams do it all the time. It doesn't matter. It's the final product which matters, and you got to get to the final product by construction, everything else to get there. So it's no big deal. But I think it's a great opportunity for Vanderbilt on Saturday night. You got to win this game. You go out and you throw an egg and you lose to Hawaii on game one, man, that is not good. So go out, take care of business, and move on to game two.
Big Joe Dubin is with us. He'll also be a part. You're everywhere, man. You're going to be co-hosting tomorrow with Junie because I'm taking the day off, so I appreciate you doing that. And then you're going to be on Football Frenzy Live on Fox 17 with Jill Jelinek and her crew. What game are you going to be headed out to this week?
We'll be at the Bishop's Cup. Pope John Paul will host Father Ryan. That's always a big deal between the two schools. It's been lopsided the last couple of years in favor of Pope John Paul, but Ryan and Coach Brian Rector, man, they got a good football team. So there'll be a nice big crowd tomorrow night out in Hendersonville for that. So always looking forward to that with one of my favorite coaches, and Brian Rector, who's been at Ryan now, I think, 6-7 years. So he's got a pretty good ball club over there. So it'll be a lot of fun. That's a great atmosphere at Pope John Paul for these games versus Ryan, the Bishop's Cup, when they're over there. It'd be a packed house, a lot of fun. Heck, all these kids grew up together in the church. Most of them did. So it's a lot of bragging rights involved tomorrow night. So it'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, and Pope John Paul coming off a loss to East Nashville in week one. So kind of looking for some revenge. Speaking of week one, I feel like there were a few surprises on the schedule. CPA eking one out over Brentwood Academy, which was played on Saturday. Great football game. You had Pearl Cone that beat NBA. What were some kind of things that stood out to you from week one of high school football?
Well, Brentwood Academy had that game done, won. And then, you know, you always hear coaches say, and you always roll your eyes, you know, play into the clock to zero. Well, CPA did. I mean, they played to the clock with the zero. They came back and beat Brentwood Academy. That was a huge one. I love Pearl Cone beating NBA. I love Tony Brunetti over at Pearl Cone. You know, I've told you this for years. I love every Metro school because I know what they have to go through to get players, to keep them out there, to keep them going. I know what these coaches do. You know, we've talked about this ad nauseum, Chase, about these high school football coaches in Metro. I mean, they're more. I mean, they're father figures. They're getting kids to and fro practice, to jobs, and everything else. So to see Tony Brunetti and Pearl Cone beat NBA, I love it. I love when a Metro school can knock down a private school any day of the week. So that was great.
Yeah, and it's hard to believe that now we move on to week number two. You mentioned that you'll be at the Bishop's Cup, but you look at some of the games that are on the schedule this week. Now Pearl Cone's got to play CPA, so CPA coming off that huge win over BA, Pearl Cone with that huge win over NBA, and now they get to turn around and do it again.
Well, you know, I love that because in the grand scheme of things, I know you want to win, but if Pearl loses CPA, it doesn't matter. Because it's not a region game. So when I played, those games, in games in region district were called cake games because that's how you build the cake. You know, you win every game in the region, you build that cake. Games out of region, we call those the icing games. Those are just icing you put on top of the cake. You can't have really good icing if you don't have the cake. That makes sense. So you build the cake, you make it good, and you go out and win. I mean, every game is important, but if they lose, it's not the end of the world for either team in this because it's not a region game, but you want to go out and get the win. But I love what Tony Bernetti's doing over at Pearl Cone. Half years, and you know, one of our favorite coaches was Jamal Stewart at East. Mm-hmm. He's out at Centennial. They got a big game tomorrow night versus Summit. Brian Coleman, great football coach at Summit High School. That's a big game tomorrow night down at Williamson County. So a lot of good games for week two.
Yeah, I mean, and you already got, like, some rivalry games, like Cheatham County at Harpeth that in week two, Page and Independence. I mean, it's kind of fun to see that early on in the season.
Yeah, our boy Max will be on that page in Independence game tomorrow night. Independence, play, you know, they got beat by Oakland last week 34-14, but they played well. I mean, they didn't quit. They didn't get destroyed. They lost the game. I understand that. But they played well in competing with, you know, one of the best teams in the country. And speaking of Oakland, they got to go to Indianapolis tomorrow night and take on basically the Oakland of Indiana tomorrow night, a team that's won three straight championships in the higher classification up there. So it's going to be a big test for Oakland tomorrow night, about 5 hours north of us up in Indianapolis.
You know, I'm over here on the west side, and you know, Hillwood High School was a staple for so long. I'm still getting used to James Lawson, the new high school, moving out into Bellevue as they made their debut or re-debut, whatever you want to call it, last week. But how kind of crazy is it to see, you know, a program like Hillwood, even though it's still there, but now it's under a different name and a new school?
I love it. I mean, it's, you know, it was time to build a new school out there, and a lot of people wanted to name it after, you know, Bellevue. You know, Bellevue High School has its own history.
Yep.
So keep that own history. It's like if they build a high school at the Hermitage and you want to call it DuPont. DuPont has its own history. It's, you know, it's sadly it's gone, but that's a history. You know, Hillwood now was one for the ages. Bellevue High School is one for the ages. So let these kids create new memories and a new everything at Lawson High School. So I think it's great, and the facilities are second to none. And that's something else, which, you know, here I go. I'm getting in my soapbox, Chaser. You know, these schools in Metro, it's hard to compete against these county schools when you go out and see their facilities. And I'm talking not just football. I mean, you're talking softball places, baseball. Some of these schools got indoor batting cages.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of these high schools in Metro don't have anything. So that's why, you know, I'll always toot my horn for Metro when they do good and get things done. And so it's good to see Lawson with those facilities and stepping up. Now I hope we can do that for other schools around Metro.
Yeah, for sure. So we'll be looking forward to seeing you on the TV on Fox 17 tomorrow, starting at 9:30 with Jill and everybody involved with that. You're going to be in for me tomorrow with Junie Riddle. What exciting things do you have planned for this show?
Well, whatever, you know, he's on every station just paying, but Jim Wyatt's going to come on tomorrow. But, well, you know, we just don't throw the normal, like, hey, Jim, what's good? Tannehill going to play? You know, we have fun with Jim. So he'll come on tomorrow because they play the Patriots tomorrow night. Andrew Allegretto will come on at 10:15 to talk about Vandy Hawaii. I tried to reach out and get the Hawaii football coach on, but I was told that he had done so many interviews regarding the fires on Maui.
Oh, wow.
That he wanted just to concentrate on football. They're already in town. They arrived in town yesterday or late Tuesday evening. And just want to concentrate on football. And I said, that's no problem. And I completely understand that, what's going on. So we'll have that tomorrow, plus fun and games and all the chicanery you can contain in one two-hour show, Chase.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome, and appreciate you doing it and looking forward to it. Hard to believe, too, that Tennessee's going to be in town in a week at Nissan Stadium playing Virginia. College football's here, man. I'm excited.
Well, we talked about that Tennessee-Virginia game, same way we talked about Vanderbilt, Hawaii. I mean, Tennessee's a 30-point favorite in that game. Got to win that game. I mean, that's a huge – we've always said, you know, the coaches always tell you, what's the biggest game on your schedule? The next one, right? So this is the biggest game on Tennessee's schedule for 2023 because it's the next game. But Tennessee needs to go out next Saturday at Nissan Stadium and just, you know, beat the tar out of Virginia 56-0, whatever. Just beat them good, beat them solid, and, you know, kind of get the ball rolling there. Imagine losing that game with all the hype going into your season. Not good. But I think Tennessee will handle Virginia with no problem.
Joe, I've enjoyed this and hearing the whistles and the pads popping in the background. So cool. Enjoy the rest of MTSU practice, and thanks for joining me.
That's actually construction, Chase, but I'm glad you're listening in the background. Are we done? Is this it? Are we done?
This is it.
I blocked off brunch for this. Okay. All right. That's good, man.
Well,
I got it. That's fine.
Go get some scones.
I'll do that. All right, brother. See you later.
See ya. Big Joe Dupin joining us. You can follow him on Twitter at Big Joe on the Go. And again, he'll be in with Junie Riddle tomorrow, filling in for me as I take a little bit of a personal day. But looking forward to that. And like I said, hearing those whistles in the background there at MTSU as they'll kick off their season against Alabama in a week. And as we announced a few weeks ago, when we were in Murfreesboro at MTSU practice, you can hear their games on 93.3 Classic Hits. That'll be starting at 5:30 on September 2nd, the week one of college football. This is week zero of college football. We'll kind of look at the schedule coming up next of week zero, because there are a handful of games of intrigue for sure as they get things kicked off. We'll do that next. Chase McCabe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Hey, Nashville's best deal of the week is for Bavarian Beer House at Opry Mills. Bavarian Beer House, Nashville's only authentic German beer hall, is a place full of fun, food, music, and most importantly, beer. I do love beer. Enjoy traditional German bratwurst, schnitzel, giant pretzels, and more. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals now to get a $50 gift card for just $25 to Bavarian Beer House while supplies last. Chase McCabe here with you on this Thursday. Appreciate Big Joe for joining us. Excuse me. Week zero of college football coming up. But first, I just discovered this, and I wish I had seen it before the show. But there is a very interesting article on ESPN.com by Stephen Holder that came out today. And it says, amid gambling violations, NFL players debate the betting policy. And he talked to 53 NFL players, which is a full roster worth, about the prevalence of sports betting and whether players fully understand the NFL gambling policy. One player is quoted in saying, you're telling me that if I walk 10 feet from the facility's door, it doesn't matter anymore. I just think that's kind of dumb. It's pointless. I don't see how that's helping anything. They basically have talked about a lot of the policies. They want to see them updated because, as the NFL has said, the policies that are in place have been in place for a long time and were put in place before you had apps that you could bet on. I mean, Nicholas Petit-Frere is a prime example of, he's been suspended for 6 games because he didn't bet on the NFL, but he bet on something else from the team facility on his phone. And they kind of look at that as, why is that a thing? And the NFL is saying, well, you know, you don't need to be betting on things while you're at work. Well, I mean, these guys are in the facility or on a team bus or hotel or what have you a lot. And my thing is, as long as you're not betting on the NFL, I totally understand that. But if you want to bet on your college team or NBA or what have you, then I don't have an issue. As long as you're, again, not betting on the NFL. So it's an interesting read. Definitely check it out. ESPN.com. Again, Stephen Holder writing it. And there's a section, how prevalent is sports gambling among NFL players? 21 players said betting on the other sports is either prevalent or some teammates bet on other sports. 17 said they weren't sure. 10 said it's either not prevalent or no teammates bet on other sports. And 5 didn't directly answer the question. So that's the survey results. How well do NFL players understand the league policy? One player says, I have no problem saying that I didn't understand it a year ago. One player said, who that reflects, I don't know. But I was under the assumption that we could gamble on anything except the NFL anytime, any place. I found out this year that's obviously not the case. Fortunately, I'm not a betting man. And also says 26 of the players interviewed believe players understand the league policy. 25 said they do not. And 2 said the players should know if they don't. So it sounds like half the players that they surveyed don't understand this policy. That's a problem. They gotta look at that. So again, you can check it out, ESPN.com, Stephen Holder. Week zero college football. Speaking of wagering, if you want to do so, not a huge slate, but an interesting one. We talked about Vanderbilt hosting Hawaii here in Nashville, a 6:30 kick, 5 o'clock pregame on 102.5 The Game at First Bank Stadium. Also have in Dublin Notre Dame playing Navy, as they'll play in Ireland. Notre Dame, a 20.5-point favorite over Navy. And Vandy's a 17.5-point favorite, by the way. So that should be an interesting one as Notre Dame kicks off their season in Dublin. You also got UTEP, Jacksonville State, UMass and New Mexico State, Ohio, San Diego State. San Jose State will play at USC. So a little Pac-12 action, RIP to the Pac-12, is USC. a 31-point favorite at the Coliseum against San Jose State, and then Florida International and La Tech. That is your week zero in D1. And then coming up Thursday, that's when things really get underway. Wake Forest is playing. Week one's not a great schedule. Florida-Utah should be interesting. Utah's a 4.5-point favorite in Salt Lake. So that one's, I guess, interesting. Nebraska-Minnesota could be an interesting one out of the Big Ten, with Minnesota a 7.5-point favorite. That's all Thursday. And then Friday, Michigan State's in action, Louisville, Georgia Tech in the ACC, Stanford in Hawaii, and then it all is all for real. Virginia and Tennessee here in Nashville at Nissan Stadium, Tennessee a 28-point favorite. So hard to believe college football is here. I'm excited that it's here. I think it's going to be a fun year around these parts, whether we're talking about Tennessee and them trying to replicate what they did last year, or Vanderbilt, certainly going to be fun to see what happens in college football. Looking forward to tomorrow, Titans preseason game number 3. We'll see if we end up seeing Ryan Tannehill or Will Levis, for that matter, or is it once again going to be the Malik Willis show if Levis is unable to go? Those questions, you know, will probably be answered throughout the day tomorrow, for, you know, what's going to happen with the Titans in that sense. I would assume Harold Landry is going to get some playing time. That's kind of been indicated by both him and Mike Vrabel since he missed the entire season last year. But we'll keep you updated on all of that. I'm going to take the day off, but as mentioned, Big Joe Dubin and Junior Riddle will be in here tomorrow for me, as they'll get you covered for the weekend and set up for the Titans game. That'll do it for me today. Have a great weekend. Coming up next, it's Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace as they continue to talk what's going on with the Titans and who might play and who might not. Stay tuned. That's next on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
It's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.